As we come to listen to God's word, let us pray. O God, you urge us to show hospitality to strangers and to those who are poor. Help us to welcome those who have never known your love and acceptance and who have a special place in your heart. May we learn to recognize each other as sisters and brothers gathered around your table. Amen. Listen now to the first reading from the book of Hebrews, from the 13th chapter. We're beginning to read at verse 1. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornication and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And then at verse 15 and 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then our gospel lesson is read from Luke chapter 14, the first verse, and then continuing at verse 7. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus never wasted an opportunity to teach about the kingdom of God. Whether he was walking along a wheat field or out fishing with his disciples or eating at someone's home for dinner, he often shared an insight or told a little parable about what it's like when we follow the ways of God and allow God to be the center of our lives rather than ourselves. Some of Jesus' most important and controversial teaching about the kingdom of God occurred around the dinner table, as we learn from our gospel reading today. At our C2C bike tour this summer, at the end of each day, we would all gather. We called it our Peloton meeting. I think the word Peloton is a French word for a group of cyclists. And we would share with each other how the day went for us, how many flat tires we had, how many falls, how much money was donated to our cause to eliminate poverty, and so on. And then our chaplain would ask, "Where did you see God today on your ride? Was there a moment when you'd like, when God seemed especially close, when you were aware of God's presence with you?" And then we would tell about how we were perhaps made aware of God in the beautiful handiwork of his creation. Or when we talked with strangers that we met on the way of our bike tour, telling them about the reason we were doing this long ride. Or when someone stopped to help us fix a flat tire, or when we had some other trouble. I guess when you're riding a bike, you take more notice of things around you. It's been said that walking is too slow, driving a car is too fast, but riding a bike is about the right speed to see things, to be aware, to be able to reflect about one's life, to be aware of God. It's been suggested that if Jesus would be on earth today doing his ministry in the flesh, he might be doing much of his ministry riding a bicycle. Well, in our gospel reading today, Jesus was invited to dinner at the house of a prominent Pharisee. And true to form, Jesus used the occasion to once again teach about the nature of God's kingdom. According to Luke, this was the third time that Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house for dinner. This is somewhat surprising because on those two previous occasions, Jesus ended up agitating his host and stirring up a controversy. But here again, Jesus is invited again. And it says that when he arrived at the Pharisee's house, they were watching him closely. He was under their surveillance. Perhaps they were trying to catch him doing something unlawful or in some way try to embarrass him and discredit his ministry. Well, Jesus arrived at this Pharisee's house, probably a rather ritzy, large place with lots of servants, and it didn't take long for controversy to begin. Jesus asked these lawyers and teachers of the law whether it would be all right for him to heal a man there who was sick. Since it was a Sabbath, in their eyes, it was against the law. But they wanted to see what Jesus would do, and so they kept silent. By his action of healing the man on the Sabbath, Jesus taught this about the kingdom of God, that in God's kingdom it's more important to show mercy and compassion than to follow religious rules and regulations. And so the dinner got off to a rocky start. But then their butler rings the bell, and the guests know it's time to be seated at the table. And again, Jesus uses the opportunity to teach about God's kingdom by contrasting the behavior of these dinner guests with the ways that we are to practice in God's kingdom. He observes how everyone tries to get the best seats nearest the host at the head of the table. Jesus says, let me give you a little advice here. When someone invites you to dinner, don't sit at the head of the table on your own initiative. You might be taking a seat reserved for someone else more important than you, and how embarrassing it would be for you to be told to take a lower seat. Instead, wait. Don't be pushy. Be polite. Then perhaps your host will notice your good manners and give you a really nice place at the table. Now, I think that Jesus is telling us more than what it means to practice good etiquette or table manners. Jesus is giving us insights about how things will be in the kingdom of God and how we should be practicing these kingdom behaviors in our everyday lives. He is commending to us another way of behaving that turns us from our own self-interests, our wanting to be first, to be more important, and to serve others. In a word, Jesus is teaching us about humility. Now, humility is a hard lesson for most of us to learn. It's a human attribute that is usually not highly valued in our Western culture. We say that to get ahead in life, you have to be a little pushy and it's unassertive. You have to take pride in who you are and what you do. You have to compete with others to get ahead. There's nothing wrong with trying to be number one. Well, there is some wisdom in that, I guess. We don't have to deny our abilities and our strengths or hide our achievements. We don't have to go around dwelling on our faults and shortcomings and walk around with our head down. There's nothing wrong with taking some pride in what we do. But the danger is that our own self-interest becomes our only and number one concern in life. When it's all about me, Jesus is trying to teach us that in God's kingdom, everyone is equal in God's eyes. We are all created in God's image. We aren't better than anyone else because of our accomplishments or our good looks or our IQ or our wealth or our rank in society. We don't have to prove ourselves as worthy human beings by trying to get ahead of others, by appearing to be better than others, because God confers upon each of us a dignity and a worth that we can never secure for ourselves. We don't have to compete for God's attention or God's love. And therefore, we can freely mingle with others without jostling for position or honor. We are free to invite others to join with us at God's table because there is room for all. Jesus goes on to teach us about another quality, in one word, hospitality. Humility and hospitality. Jesus says to his host, look at your guest list when you throw a party. Don't just invite your close relatives and friends and your rich neighbors. Now, Jesus was probably describing every last person around that Pharisee's table. Instead, invite the poor, the disabled, the sick, those who never get recognized. Jesus was pointing out that the guest list in God's kingdom will be much more varied and diverse than the guest list of this Pharisee. Jesus is teaching us to enlarge our table, not to exclude anyone. And that's the challenge for us today. And I suppose we might say that we're going to be trying to do just that tomorrow as we invite the neighborhood to our Labor Day barbecue. Luke doesn't tell us how this Sabbath dinner party ended, but you get the feeling that when Jesus left, the host did not reach out his hand to Jesus and say, "Hope you'll come again." According to Luke, this was the last time that Jesus was a guest in a Pharisee's house. In his very next chapter, Luke tells us that Jesus was dining with tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees were standing outside grumbling. So Jesus is challenging us today to show hospitality and to practice humility. Character traits of those who desire to be part of God's kingdom. How can we relate to those who are outside of our circle of friends? How can we build relationships with people outside of the church fellowship? How can strangers become friends? How can we more clearly reflect God's kingdom in our everyday life and work and in the life and ministry of the church? How can we become less concerned about our own self-interests and prove our own worth? And how can we simply accept God's love and grace rather than trying to earn it? How can we focus more on serving others rather than focusing on our own selfish desires? It's natural for us to look out for number one. But Jesus commends us to follow another way that brings us even closer to God through humility and hospitality. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.